Welcome to TSF Life, a podcast ministry of the Shepherd's Fellowship Church in Marion, Ohio. TSF Life is designed to bring you biblical teaching in a relational way that's easy to apply to your life. Let's join Pastor Tom Hypes as we dive into today's teaching.
Glad you guys are here with us. If you have been with us for a while, you know the general flow and the general feel of where we've been over the last month as we've been celebrating Advent, which is just a traditional thing. It's not necessarily a biblical thing, but a traditional thing, preparing ourselves and keeping ourselves focused on Christ. So when we get to the celebration, that expectation into that fulfillment becomes joyful. For those who have not been with us, let me just kind of explain a little bit of how that played out. Of Advent, there's four different main themes. This is what these candles represent, where we have been going through different areas to dig into, to pray about, to really focus into. We've been having devotionals around them as well to be able to prepare our hearts for that celebration. And we've gone through several of them, actually all four of them, and tonight we celebrate with the birth of Christ, where it all comes together. So it's kind of exciting time for us that we've been building towards, but we've been doing it in a specific way. This year, as we've been going through Advent, we've been doing it by connecting the prophecies about Jesus in what we call the Old Testament to the fulfillment of Jesus when it comes to the nativity testimony, and then how that applies to our life today in those areas of hope, peace, love, and joy. And one of the focuses we've been bringing into that is this reality that we don't necessarily think about a lot, that there was a period of time between the prophets and the fulfillment that God was silent. That the prophecies that we talk about, the prophecies that we dig into, the prophecies that they held on to, were 750 years all the way up to a couple thousand years before Jesus was born. But when you read them, it's just very, very evident talking about Jesus. But from the point that when he was talking through the prophets, God, through the prophets, there came a point where he stopped. And then there was about 400-450 years where God didn't speak. And they were used to 250-300 years where God was saying a lot. And so the question became, when it came to the hardships in their life, when it came to anything depression-wise, when it came to anything addiction-wise, when it came to anything about how I deal with life and get through these circumstances, and what happens that God just stops talking to us? What does that mean? How does that play out? The only thing that they had was to go back and mine those scriptures, to be able to look at the promises of God, the prophecies of God, so that they can hold on to that, waiting and waiting and waiting. So that's kind of the aspect we've been trying to bring into it, because when you look at the prophets in your Bible, the last one is Micah, and you turn the page, and it's the New Testament, and that's it. There's 450 years between those that we've been trying to really dig into a little bit, because, well, it applies to our life today as well, which we'll talk about as we go. So just to kind of give you a little bit of a feel, the first week that we were dug into was hope, and one of the scriptures that we looked at Lisa's help, was from Isaiah 43. Isaiah was about 750 years before Jesus. Again, everybody in the Jewish community had the scripture. They were taught these scriptures. But a voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And that is talking about John the Baptist, if you're familiar with John the Baptist. And so the first week when we talked about hope, we dug into this scripture and many others, and how John the Baptist fulfilled all those through the miraculous birth to Zechariah, a high priest who was old, and his wife who was old and barren and never had kids. And an angel showed up and said, you are going to have the forerunner, the one that you've been reading about since you were a little kid. That's going to be your boy. And so we looked at that fulfillment and how that hope that they held on to applies into our lives as well as we hold on to the scriptures about Jesus returning again. As we moved into the next area, peace, probably the main scripture that we had there, Lisa, if you would, there we go. Isaiah 9:6, so again, in that 750-year time frame, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Who's that talking about? Written 750 years before Jesus was a baby. and they had this access to it. And so we focused in on that Prince of Peace. We looked at some of the other scriptures and the other prophecies from those time frames that talked about Jesus and how he fulfilled that throughout the nativity testimony. From there, we moved into love. We'll give you the next scripture here. Just, again, one of the examples that we looked at, Isaiah 9:2. So still staying in that same ballpark. He had a lot to say when it came to prophecies about the Messiah to come. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them his light has shone. And we looked at the testimony of Mary and Joseph and the way that their dynamics worked out, how Mary was humble within a relationship because, she wasn't taking and holding over Joseph's head. I'm the chosen one. She brought humility. He brought his partnership where he gave up everything he thought his life was ever going to be able to be the stepfather of Jesus, the child. And then also their love for God and God's love for them and how he provided and how submission comes into place and how that comes together in perfect love and perfect unity. And then yesterday, if you weren't here with us, we talked about the last of the four, which was joy. And joy is a little different. I'll give you the scripture, Daniel 7:13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man. Who is that? Jesus, right? And he came to the Ancient of Days, which is God, and he was presented before him. We went through a lot of prophecy in Daniel, but that's one we did kind of reverse because we were tying this with the three wise men. Well, I just caught myself. It's not three wise men. We don't know how many wise men. It's wise men. And as we went through that testimony, we looked at how the wise men even came into being, that these were not Jewish people. These were Gentiles. They were from the East. They weren't from the area. They did not have the scriptures like all the other people within the testimony, even though they're miraculous moments. But we went back to Daniel to find when the wise men are first mentioned. And we went back to Daniel, this is 1,200, 1,300 years before, so that we could find the prophecies that God gave to him. And we found how he became in power over and became the leader of the wise men, or the magi, who were magicians, and they were also astrologers, and they were also counseled to the king. They were kingmakers. And so we went through many of his prophecies that God was downloading onto him, that he was outloading onto these magi, these wise men, and then they went from generation to generation, passing these on, knowing what to look for in the sky. And the thing that was kind of crazy about the entire thing is that as we were looking about how these people have been holding on to the scripture that they have mined, the prophecies that they mined, all these things that God gave them plenty of notice about, we also came across in that area with the wise men, with the people, as far as Jerusalem, as far as their king, Herod, they had stopped mining the scripture. They had stopped hoping. They had stopped anticipating. So when the wise men came, who for generations were like, okay, is it tonight? Is it tonight? Is it tonight? Is it tonight? They came to the king and said, hey, can you tell us where the celebration is? We want to be on this. That Herod and the rest of the people around him were like, what are you talking about? Because they had given up hope. And they had stopped focusing on the scripture. There's a lot that we really have dug into. If you missed any of those, any of that sounds of interest to you, feel free to check out our church website. You can pick all of those up. But all of them was building to tonight, how all of these come together when it comes to Christ himself. So the question became, when it came to preparing for tonight, it's like, oh, we've gone through all of the nativity story. Like, what are you still bringing in? What do we cap it off with? And there is a particular section of scripture that I want to bring to the table tonight that's a little bit different than the other scripture we've been looking at. And usually I say, hey, let's all get our Bibles out, and there's Bibles around the rooms, and your version. None of that's up and running, and the lights are dim. I'm just going to read it to you. It's going to be John chapter 1. Okay. Now, I do want you to write that down because you always want to double-check whoever's up here babbling. And so you want to make sure I'm not making up any sentences and adding them in there. You want to make sure I don't take anything out. You want to make sure that you double it again because it's really good scripture. But it is different than what we find in the other Gospels. For instance, all the Gospels are different on how they present the nativity testimony. If you look at Mark, Mark doesn't even touch the nativity. Do you ever notice that? He doesn't even touch it. He just starts out with John the Baptist went out and started doing his thing. It just he just skips over that part because his mindset, his purpose, his scope was on the gospel message, Jesus' teachings, Jesus' life. Then you go to Luke, and Luke we've been in quite a bit, and you see Luke quite a bit. Luke's going to tell you about Mary's story. Luke's going to tell you about the shepherd's story. Luke actually gives us a genealogy of Jesus. That's pretty interesting, you know, genealogy. Anybody ever look at Ancestry.com? You guys know what I'm talking about, right? And he goes from Jesus down the family tree all the way to Adam. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever looked at it? It's really kind of cool. So if you're a person that kind of goes, well, maybe Adam and Eve, that's just a story to kind of explain. The challenge with that is twofold. One, Jesus talks about Adam as if he knew him, because he did. And secondly, we have the family tree all the way back to Adam. And the reason why Luke tracked it that far, if you read it why he did his gospel, is he's talking to all the witnesses, he gets all the facts, he wants to come up with the best account of Jesus' life that he possibly can. And his goal is to let us know that Jesus is for all of us. So his gospel is really centered towards both the Jewish community, but also the Gentile community that were not part of God's chosen people from an Old Testament standpoint. Matthew's different. Matthew covers some of the parts that Luke does not. Matthew gets into Joseph's story. He gets into the wise men that we just talked about came from that. He also has a lineage in there, a little ancestry.com, and he chooses different branches. It doesn't contradict what Luke does, but he chooses different branches because he has a different outlook and a different motive for who he's writing his gospel for. While it applies to all of us, absolutely, his goal was to show the Jewish people how the prophecies were fulfilled. And we see most of the prophecies and talking about how they tie together when Matthew is tying them together for us. And so his lineage actually goes all the way back, has some surprising guests in there. I believe that's the one that has Rahab the prostitute in it, who is a Gentile, but she was grafted into the Jewish faith. And he wanted to make sure that they saw how God worked within the Jewish faith. But he tracks them back to Abraham, because Abraham is the father of the Jewish faith. From their perspective. So it goes back to David. We'll make sure to get that prophecy in there and show you how it goes back to Abraham as well. John does none of this. John does none of it. John is a collection of John's sermons that he'd given for decade after decade after decade, that he compiled the first main part of that up to, like, I think it's the last two chapters that we think that his disciples added. But anyways, he knew how to tell a story. And I don't know if that's because he was preaching for so long, or as he started out as a fisherman and he was really good at telling fishing stories, and that kind of went over into how he preached. I don't know. But it's a completion of these stories. And he does a section on the nativity that's unlike anything else that's within the scripture. And it's done somewhat of a poetic way. And it's done with, like, these deep theological thoughts and such a layman's understanding of it, that it's just beautiful. And I think it might bring us the extra element that we need on top of what we've been studying. And if you haven't gone through those studies, I think you probably have a general gist of what the Christmas nativity story is, to be able to see how it connects. Does that sound good? Everybody in? Okay. So this is my experiment to see if I can read small print. Okay, so John, it starts like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, with God, and the Word was God. And in this, since you're unable to see it yourself, the W on Word is capitalized. And the reason it's capitalized is because he's using Word as a proper name for Jesus. Okay, so the way that he would be expressing this is, in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was with God, but there's a particular reason he wants us to know that he's calling him the Word. He continues by saying, he, Jesus, was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Jesus, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That's beautiful news. I mean, I hear people left and right talking about whether or not they are feeling Christmas this year, if they're not feeling Christmas this year, if they're struggling with depression, or if everything seems to be just going just fine. If they have things that they are wanting and things that are overwhelming in finances, or if they're content with what God has within them, whatever the case may be, this is beautiful news. The Word was with God. He is God. Nothing has been created without God. This is Jesus. This is who we celebrate. Verse 6 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. So we're going to bring John the Baptist into this for a moment. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him and believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That's amazing. Those who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but because of the will of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. John bore witness about him when he cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me.'" For all his forgiveness we have received, grace upon grace. For the message was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side, but he has made him known. So within this, there's four different analogies that he uses that I think is worth our time to kind of explore a little bit. The first one is being the Word. Okay, so the Word was with God, was God, and nothing was created without the Word of God. And that single voice changed the way that I see Genesis 1. Just changes the way I see Genesis 1. I mean, when you're reading the creation of this earth, and God spoke, "Let there be light," and there was light, those things that came out of his mouth were words, and those words were Christ. And so through Christ, everything was made. So when he spoke light into existence, it was through Christ. That's the Word. That's the Word. When he separated the expanse from the skies and the earth, he did that with speaking through Jesus. Nothing was created. Nothing was created except for through Christ. Any animal made, any shrub that plopped up, any human being that was made, it was all through Jesus. And that says a lot. And I think the thing that's even more amazing within that is why we've spent the last 4 weeks looking at the scriptures that they were mining to hold on to during the difficult days so that they had the promises waiting for the fulfillment. And they lost it. They lost Jesus because he is that Word. He is that scripture. He is that prophecy given to Isaiah or Daniel or any of the other prophets that we spoke about. When we today are living in a season where what we have is the New Testament. And yes, God still speaks today, but it's not the same way he did the prophets. You and I have the scripture. He's given us everything that we need to be able to mine so that you and I can get through our depression and we can get through our crap and we can get through the circumstances that pulls God out of my mind and I'm focused on all the stress and the anxiety. I have the scripture and the Holy Spirit within me to be able to mine the scripture, which you know what that means? I'm mining Jesus. That's how I bring those things in. That's how those things happen. Another thing he talks about is he's the light. And that's pretty amazing because when he, you know, let there be light and Jesus is the way it goes through, that's because Jesus is light, period. He is light. One of the things that's crazy is someday, if you accept Jesus as Leah for giving your life, okay, there's two things that come from. One, you've got him today. And a lot of people forget that. They're just like, "Oh, I just want to go to heaven." You do get to go to heaven following Jesus and this is salvation. But you also get him today. But when I get to that heaven part, the thing that's amazing to me, there is no, and I don't know everything about heaven, but I do know this. There is no sun. There is no star. There is no need for them. Because the light will radiate from Jesus Christ. Amen. Period. Period. All these substitutes that he put in creation for us, they're beautiful, they're awesome, they're great, don't look straight at them. But he is the light of heaven, of heavenly home when we're in. And he's also the light of my life today. So when the circumstances try to pull away from all the stuff that I've got going on or the things that I don't understand or the circumstances of my family or the circumstances of people that are supposed to care about me but they stab me in the back or they hurt me more, whatever the case may be, the light comes from Jesus. And if I'm trying to find some light in the darkness, I now know where to look. I now know where to look. One of the amazing things that he puts in this, and it's kind of that fourth analogy, the third analogy is in there, is that he's given us the right, which we do not have outside of him, guarantee it, to become children of God. And that the whole reason that this amazing, overwhelming, beautiful, incredible Messiah left heaven with all the worship and all the rights and all the beauty and all the peace to come to this cesspool was so that he can give me the right to be saved. That he can give me the gift to be able to have an opportunity to come to the manger and say, "Little baby, I love you and I need you." Because this is where the power and the truth comes from. according to Paul in Romans, this is how it works. This is how you get saved. If you ever heard, I remember we went to, I think it was in Boston. We were doing some tour of like the ancient churches and stuff, and they're telling you stories from these churches when like George Washington and all these other people were there and stuff. And they read, or quoted from a lady's diary, that she was an older lady in the congregation, 1700s, and she was writing how much she loved the church, how much she loved going there, and how great it felt. The only thing that she wished is they kept talking about being saved. I just wish they would tell me how. And she never heard. Decades. So if you're wondering, this is what it means. According to Paul, if you accept that Jesus is the Son of God, if you believe that, and you believe he died and rose again for you, then you are saved. It's a conscious choice that only you can make. It has nothing to do with anything that grandma did in your life or anything that you learned at VBS when you were a kid. It all comes down to you making a conscious choice. And basically what that translates to is, you're God and I'm not. And you created me and you've got a purpose for me. And the way things are going right now, with me being in control and being bashed around by every circumstance of my life, it's not happening. But you have given me the right to say, I'm giving this back to you. And even though I don't accept, I don't deserve this forgiveness that comes from what this child did, he will give it to me and I'll grab a hold of it with everything I've got. And I'll accept that forgiveness and I give you control and I'm following you from now on. That's what it means to be saved. And you and I don't have the right for it. According to Scripture, we've all sinned. We've all messed up. Not a single one of us knows how to do it in and of our own, because it's impossible, but God, but Jesus. And he gives us this right, this opportunity to become children of God. And it's a decision that you make, and it's a decision that you talk to him about, and it's a decision for intimacy with the God who designed you from the beginning. And then the fourth analogy that I'll talk about is this. It's the Word again. He comes back and he's talking about the Word. It is like a complete and total bookend about how the Word came and it dwelled with us, and it came in flesh to be with us. There was one time I was reading a magazine. They had like several pieces about trying to explain the Trinity of God. Okay, if you don't understand the Trinity of God, either do I. It's one of those God things that if I can understand everything about God, he's no longer God. Okay, so but we're invited to understand how there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are three in one, one God, but they have different ways that they move within this. And it's engaging and it's wonderful and it's beyond my comprehension exactly how that works. But in this, when they talked about it, they said, okay, when you cook at God the Father to a certain extent, okay, it seems like the spotlight was mostly on him in the Old Testament. We see Jesus, we see the Holy Spirit, but God the Father is kind of the one at center stage within that. And then you get to the Gospels, and you get God the Son. It's kind of more, again, a lot of God, a lot of Holy Spirit, but it seems like that's where the spotlight is, right? And then when he goes and God sends the Holy Spirit to us in this unique way where he dwells within me, when I accept Jesus as a living forgiver, that part of God dwells within me, then the spotlight's on him now through the rest of the New Testament, through what we call the church age, which is what you and I sit in the middle of today. Okay, and that's kind of the spotlight. But the thing I liked about it was, and it helped me understand a little bit, in the Old Testament, it was almost like God the Father was up here and we were down here. That's kind of how it's represented, right? And then Jesus was amongst us and the Holy Spirit's within me. And it's almost like God was saying, this is not close enough for me. I want to be intimate with you. And so he came down here in the physical realm, in a flesh way, and then he could laugh with us, cry with us, joke with us, race us down a path if he wants to, teach us, hold us, whatever the case may be. And even then, it was like it wasn't close enough, and now he dwells within us. And he knows me better than I know me. Have you ever prayed that? God, reveal me to me. I need to know more of me through your eyes. That's the Word. That's what we've been mining this entire time, that he invites us to come as if it's a buffet. As if it's a buffet. I love the fact that it says it gives grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Actually, it says it gives grace upon the grace he's already given you. He's ready to do that again and again and again. I love that aspect of it. It's just a beautiful picture of the truth of who Jesus is. Now, This is something I want to repeat for the third time. I feel fellowship, but you probably heard me talk about it the last couple of weeks, because I think this has been the theme for me in my Advent season. So bear with me as I share this again for our guests. A friend of mine was sharing a desire she has in her heart to show people Jesus through her life, which hopefully all of us Christians want to show people Jesus through our life, right? But then she continued, and she said the reason for it is because when I bring up church, when I bring up God, when I bring up Jesus, a lot of us have walls that come up as soon as those things are said because of the way it's been defined to us before. Because of past church hurt or hurt by Christians or bad things that we've gone through, you just automatically put up that wall of defense. And she goes, so what my desire is to show them Jesus so they can see just how beautiful he is. So then they will know what they've been seeking. And then they will be able to find him. The other thing we put within that is that when it comes to joy, you cannot have joy without an expectant heart. When things are fulfilled and you never expect a heart, it's like, oh, that's cool. But if you hold on to and you mind Jesus and you lean in Jesus with an expectancy that he's going to keep his promises, then when he does, now we live in joy. You see those two things? That is what God did when a baby came into the manger. That was God's invitation to us to say, all the other stuff you've ever had, everything else that's going on during the Christmas season, whatever, do you see how beautiful he is? He's the Word. Nothing's been created. Nothing. Except through him. Do you see the light? Do you see how beautiful he is? You know all the other junk that's been going on? Let's put that aside. Do you see the light? The very source. You can marvel at the sun, but it's nothing. Nothing. Compared to my boy. And I sent him from this heavenly throne to hear because I love you and because I would do anything for you. It doesn't matter if Christmas is the actual date of Jesus' birth. This is when we celebrate Jesus' birth. This is when we celebrate the gift. This is when we come together and we have the opportunity to not just embrace it ourselves, but to teach our loved ones, our worker, those we work with, people that we see in life. Isn't he beautiful? Isn't he beautiful?
If you were blessed by today's teaching, we hope you return for our next podcast. Or, better yet, stop by the Shepherd's Fellowship any Sunday morning to join us live. You can learn more about the church by calling 740-382-3500. Or check us out online by going to tsflife.com. That's tsflife.com. You can also support the ministry of TSF Life by donating at our church website or sending support to the Shepherd's Fellowship, 1647 Marion, Marysville Road, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Thank you for spending your time with us today, and we look forward to seeing you soon. Be blessed.